When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community In Depth, and we are thrilled because on the phone with us today, we have Chaplain Gordon Gathright. He is the chaplain at Augustana, but we want to learn more about that because I think they're going through a little name change. And we also are joined today by Kay Marthaler, and she is the Director of Nursing at Augustana. Welcome to both of you. Thanks so much for calling in today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. So first of all, I would like to chat it up with you, Gordon, and tell us about how things are going at Augustana. I know every day it sure seems like there are different protocols that the government is coming out with, and then you have to somehow adapt to those. So how are things going at Augustana?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, some things are the same. With the changing of the seasons, visitation issues are going to be different as we move forward. I think the loneliness and the isolation piece for our residents is as real, even though they're having all these kinds of visits with family. It's still, there's still not the close connections. I thought it was interesting. I'm sure you know that Sid Hartman died on Sunday. And one of the things that his son Chad said was how COVID had affected Sid. Not that he didn't have, COVID, but the isolation of not being able to leave his house and do things with family and friends was really taking a big toll on him. I thought that was an interesting part of the conversation with Sid, because we see that a lot with our residents, the lack of connection and how hard that is on people at times. Most of this age group, the 70, 80, 90, and 100-year-olds, have never experienced not being close to family or having family interactions. And because of that, it really takes a big toll on their lives each day.
You know, I actually have been doing a lot of reading, and I've seen different news segments also about isolation and loneliness. And for some people, they're saying that it's almost worth, like, let's say if you live at home, it's almost worth it for people to have visitors and just kind of roll the dice with if they're going to get COVID or not, because it outweighs this isolation piece. And I know when you're at a congregate living place like you are at Augustana, you can't do that. But there is something to that, Gordon. And I'm sure, as a chaplain, one of the things that you probably do the most of is counseling with people. And I'm sure it used to be all faith-based, but now I'm sure a lot of it has to do with isolation.
You know, I think I've said this before, we've done an amazing job for the most part with their physical health, but it's a big struggle with their mental and spiritual health. And there's only so much. We have roughly 52 or 53 residents right now. And I make it a point to try to visit every resident at least once during the week. And then others with more severe conditions, more often. But it's just really difficult to try to be everything that you can be to so many people when they're not experiencing the family support, because we can only, as staff here, we can only give so much. And beyond that, it's critical for families.
What are some of the things that your residents are saying to you?
The biggest one is just the connection with family, missing that, that family contact, hugs, all of those things that we all thrive on. Many of our residents, like I said, don't know what that's like. They've never experienced it until we're dealing with COVID now.
And Kay, I know that part of what you do there is you work with staff and help with the visiting. Can you explain who and how visiting works right now at Augustana?
Sure. So, you know, and I'm going to preface this by right now because it is ever changing for us. So for a bit of time, we've actually had what's called compassionate care visits. And those are for our folks that are maybe going through end-of-life changes, or it might be a new patient that's coming to us that's really having a difficult time with that transition of moving here. Or we've done some psychosocial visits through compassionate care for our patients that have been here for a while that are just really struggling with not having that family contact. So those compassionate care visits are actually determined by myself and some of our other team members to ensure that it is the right time to bring in a visitor for our patients. They're not ongoing visits, if you will, but they're for a short period of time. So we've had that going on really since about June, first part of June, we started those visitations. Then came July, and we brought in what's called our essential care visitors. And so those are actually determined by the residents that we have and who, you know, is that one person that is helping them with, you know, maybe their laundry or getting them their favorite cookies or whatever maybe. And so those visits are occurring on a regular daily basis as well. And so it might be a family member, it might be a friend, it might be a chaplain for some that the residents determined who that essential care worker was going to be.
And is it one person per resident?
It is. It is one person per resident. They can come in, they're in the building for an hour at a time. It's still controlled as far as how many bodies we have in the building. And then there's guidelines of, you know, if a resident has a roommate, either the roommate needs to leave the room or the visit's set up in a common room, like the heritage room, because it's all about mitigating the risk and not exposing more people to the potential of COVID, because as we open up, it just brings in the additional risk of more bodies in our building and the potential of it coming in with a visitor, if you will.
Have you noticed that has helped people?
Yes, I would definitely agree. Both of these types of visits have helped people. It's still really hard because there's still not that personal touch. We are educating upon them entering our building every time they come in. They're educated before this process started that they still have to maintain that 6 feet apart. You know, they have to be in PPE, which means they have to wear a face mask, they have to wear a face shield. So talk about human contact when the first thing you want to do is give your mom or dad a hug, you know, and a kiss goodbye. Like, we still aren't able to do that personal touch. So it's still really hard, but it I think has helped. It's a step in the right direction.
So you mentioned that these protocols can change pretty quickly. Where do you get your guidelines from, please?
You know, we are very fortunate that we work for the organization that we do. Cassia has always been very kind of ahead of the curve in preparation for all of this as fast as we can be. So they're working with not only CMS, which is Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which is at a federal level, but they're also working with the Minnesota Department of Health as well as CDC guidelines. So they take all of this information and they put it into our protocols at which all of our buildings then roll out these policies and procedures, if you will.
And Kay, tell us a little bit about your job in particular as the Director of Nurses. How long have you been with Cassia Augustana and what is your background, please?
I have been here almost 25 years.
Wow.
25 years in January. Yeah, Gordon's clapping over here.
I'm clapping too. That's incredible.
Yeah, so I actually started, obviously, many, many years ago. as a nursing assistant and worked my way through nursing school, worked here as a nurse. I actually managed transitional care for almost 14 years before I took the director of nursing position. So I took the director of nursing position just over 3 years ago. And wow, has it changed in that 3 years. I don't think any one of us in any nursing capacity, whether you're a chaplain or a nursing assistant or a housekeeping, did any of us prepare for a pandemic. You know, that's not how we're taught or we're trained. But again, grateful that we work with the organization that we work for, because we are not just a unit in the facilities. We are, you know, one big organization of being able to support, to reach out to others in buildings and other director of nursing, if you will, to get, you know, some ideas. I know Gordon just had a meeting with the chaplains yesterday and are able to ask questions amongst our, you know, each other of, okay, we have this going on. How have you handled this? Or what are you doing about this? And so a lot of support, which I'm grateful for, because my role here has obviously extremely shifted from day-to-day business of, you know, just the normal regulations that we have to stay in compliance with to very much infection control driven, and then implementing things as they change, you know, implementing what does a compassionate care visit look like and how do we control that environment and how do we monitor the bodies in the building and how do we ensure the safety of not only the resident that they're coming to visit, but the other residents and the other staff. And I think as a whole, there's just a lot of education. And it's ever-changing. You know, like I said, there's been times where things get rolled out on a Friday night at 5 o'clock, and no one knows it's coming. So it's just when you think you have your head wrapped around what we're doing, it might change.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Are there certain parts of your nursing position, or all the nurses there, are there certain parts of the job now that are becoming more familiar?
Yeah, you know, I think just an overall assessment in not to let your guard down, you know, as we get familiar, if you will, with COVID. I mean, if you even look at the initial symptoms that we were monitoring for, you know, you're looking at cold-like symptoms, and then came along the stomach symptoms, and now you're looking at a change of smell or taste. And so while you don't want to rule out that it's not COVID, you also need to keep in the forefront, what else could it be? So we're not just jumping to the conclusion, well, it's got to be COVID. Well, let's make sure it's not some other type of infection, and keeping those in the forefront and just not making an assumption. Especially now that we're going into influenza season on top of it all.
Ugh, I know it.
You know, and these symptoms are very similar to influenza, so.
So how do you go about keeping everybody safe? How do you monitor? Let's say I'm coming to work at Augustana and I'm a nurse.
Yeah.
I drive up and I park my car and then I walk in, and what happens?
Yeah, so we have an employee visitor vending screening tool. So anyone stepping foot in our building, whether you're a worker or a visitor or someone delivering something, we go through a screening. So we check everyone's temperature, and then we go through all of the symptoms to ensure that they don't have any symptoms that could be related to COVID.
How high does your temperature have to be that you would become alarmed?
100 degrees or greater is our threshold. So we're looking at that, and then we're making sure that they don't have chills to go with that, or a new or worsening cough, or shortness of breath, or difficult breathing, or muscle fatigue, or body aches, or a headache. New loss of taste or smell. We're making sure they don't have a sore throat or congestion or a runny nose or nausea or vomiting or any other GI issues. We need to make sure everyone visiting has washed their hands upon entry. So we have, you know, more hand sanitizer units throughout our building, not only in every single room, but in several different common areas. everyone coming in our building has a surgical mask on and a face shield or goggles, and that needs to remain on at all times. Social distancing, you know, even if you're coming to visit a loved one, we still are encouraging them to remain 6 feet apart and just making sure. So all of our visitors coming in have a visitor tag. They're identified as to who they are, who they're going to see. And because it's a limited amount of time in the building, it's right on their tag at what time they're coming in and what time they need to leave the building. So we have staff monitoring that they're leaving the building because we need to control the number of bodies in the building. Mm-hmm. And we also need to be able to allow everyone to have a visitor. So it's not just one person having, you know, that visitor here the entire 8 hours. So just being able to allow everyone the same equal rights.
So has it been hard to find people to work at Augustana? Have you lost any employees because of all this?
There was a few in the beginning for different reasons. Maybe age or high risk really is most of the reasons. But we have actually been fortunate. We've continued to hire staff, and our staff have continued to stay, which we've been extremely grateful. So we actually have our own nursing assistant class here. So we hire them. We provide them with a scholarship. They do 35 hours online training, and then they come to our building and have to do their clinical skills and their clinical hours here. So through all of this, again, very fortunate that we've actually continued to maintain our staff and hire. Very fortunate.
And that continuity has to be great, too, from a safety standpoint.
Absolutely. We really watch where our staff are working. We want to make sure that they're in the same place, you know, that we're not floating them between floors or from this area of the building to the other, because in the event that we have a positive case, we do what's called contact tracing. So you're looking for that source of where did this infection come from and what the exposure risk is. So I always need to know where our bodies are at in our building.
Boy, it sure sounds like you have some great, great rules and regulations in place. Gordon, if people want to learn more about Augustana, do you have any openings, do you know?
We have openings for staff and openings for transitional care unit residents and also for long-term care people as well. That's always a great piece. And so we've had a little bit of an uptick, but not full by any stretch of the imagination. We're always welcoming new people to be in our building, that's for sure.
Well, we really feel very safe the way you have so many things set out. It sounds like it's a really safe, you know, you're making the best of everything, and we really appreciate it. We want to thank our guests today, Chaplain Gordon Gathright and the Director of Nurses, Kay Marthaler. They are, of course, at Augustana, which is part of the Cassia Health Group, and we appreciate your time today. Thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder